The following program was produced by an independent community producer. The opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of the ECAT staff or board of directors.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. Oh my God, it's so good to see you again. How have you been? I do this weekly out of the studio. I've been doing radio for 30 years, and I do a daily, every weekday, I do another show on that internet thing. You heard of this? And then also syndicated radio stations. And once a week, I come in here, but I don't know why. Because I guess I can, and I do a version of what I do on the radio, though on the radio I do interviews, and I might say some things that might be a tad off color, but probably not. But here, it's just you and me. I just talk for half an hour, and then you go on about your life and realize that that's just wonderful. So here we are. I just paid my property tax. Seriously? My fault. I own a home. My fault. Sorry. Property tax. It's ransom is what it is. It's what I said to the person there at the window. I go to the town hall to pay because if I'm going to pay property tax, I want to pay it in a building that I probably fund anyway. So there's this person sitting there, nicest person in the world, I got to tell you. They're nice people. I walk in there and I give him my check and my little receipt thing and I say, here's my ransom. And she kind of agrees. This is getting crazy. It really is. I figure if I should pay that kind of money quarterly for property tax, when I pay it, I should at least get a lollipop or something. Give me like maybe a coupon to a restaurant or something. Something. Give me something. But I don't get anything. And then at the same time, I paid my water bill. That's going up a lot too. And yet the quality of the water is apparently going down. Or not yet to where it should be according to state water regulations. Federally, we're fine here. State-wise, though, we're deficient. And yet I get a bill for my water. It's like, why shouldn't I get a discount for, like, water that isn't that good? I mean, what's going on? Anyway, this is where I chose to live. And there you have it, man. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? It costs a lot of money to live these days. I'm in a house that's about 20 years old now, and I'm finding that I am going through a phase in life with my house. We're doing it together, where everything in my house has said, you know, we're only good for 20 years. It's time to replace everything. All at once. It's all at once or nothing at all. I mean, appliances breaking down, furnaces, roofs. I mean, you know, It's all at the same time. It's all like they get together when I'm out of the house, and the water heater says to the, to the roof, hey, you know, let's get together and screw this guy up as much as we can, okay? But wait until the quarter's coming, so he has to also pay the property. He's gonna go crazy. Yeah, well, it worked. It worked. Anyway, we're all in the same boat. We're all apparently on Noah's Ark here. There's some place, I saw this on TV. There's some place in the midsection of the country, like right about here, where they have a replica of Noah's Ark, and they have replicas of all the animals that were on the Ark, and two of those animals were dinosaurs. What Bible are you reading? Oh, my God. Humans and dinosaurs never lived at the same time. The Flintstones is not a documentary. What kind of planet are we living on here? What's going on? Are people getting stupider or are we getting smarter? I think it's an even draw. One way or the other, things are not working out very well. I don't know how so many people can be on different pages. I don't know. We all live and breathe the same air. We live on the same planet. We go through the same problems. And yet we're like totally, totally different in our beliefs and things. It's just phenomenal. It's engaging until you have to engage. Then it's a problem. But I'm not here to complain. I'm really not. And I'm not here for any reason other than I had nothing else to do. And it's not lunch yet. So that's what I'm doing here. Thank you for being here. There's a company. Oh, this is funny. Where are you, by the way? Are you over there? Oh, you're over there. I thought you were over there. I screwed up. All right, forget the whole beginning of the program. I wasn't looking at you're over there. Oh, okay. Next time, wave to me so I can tell where you are. I'm over here through the whole thing, and you're over there. I don't do a lot of research for this this thing here because that would make it even more futile. So I don't. There's a company called, I think it's Embark or Embark or just Bark. I'm not sure. And it's a company for dogs. It has dog products and dog services, and it's an internet thing, as everything is these days. Yeah, it's for dogs. It's for humans. Dogs don't have wallets. I mean, they can't like take their paw and put it in their wallet. I mean, it's for humans. It's not for dogs. But they say, yeah, it's the only big internet website for dogs. Dogs don't go on the web. I've never seen my dog sit in a chair in front of a screen going, enter. It doesn't happen. It's people. It's just humans, whom apparently lived at the same time as dinosaurs. Anyway, it's for humans. Anyway, it's a dog website, and you can get all kinds of things. And I guess they also provide dog services. One of the services that they provide is something that I don't quite understand. I understand a little bit, but not a lot. And that is they do dog DNA. I think DNA stands for do not ask. It's dog DNA, and what you do is you get a little bit of spittle or a little drool from your dog, and you send it to this particular company, Embark, and they analyze it, and they give you the DNA results. Okay. Why? I don't understand. The only reason that I would do something like that is if I was incredibly curious if my dog was a pure breed or not, or if I were a breeding kind of guy who tends to breed, I would want to know this, even though I don't know. I'm not breeding my dog and that kind of thing. I love my dog. I don't need to know who my dog's great-grandfather was during the Civil War. I don't understand why you would do DNA on a dog. Well, Ron, there are medical reasons. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Yes, Ron, my dog apparently was the dog to a blacksmith back in the 1700s. That's my dog the master of my dog was a blacksmith, 1792. Oh, okay. What do we do with that? Well, it's no wonder that my dog likes blacksmithing. What are you talking about? It's kind of like, it makes me laugh on one hand, and on the other hand, it seems to make me cry. I don't, personally, maybe it's just me, personally, I don't care where my dog came from, just the fact that it's here now. Ron, don't you want to know if your dog is prone to various medical conditions? What am I supposed to do about it, though? What am I supposed to do? Because your dog's sister's cousin on your grandparents' dog side was actually in the Civil War was an architect of the Magna Carta just after the boats landed in Normandy. Okay, that's nice. I will pet my dog a little more so then, if that's the case. It's gotten a little stupid. Do you know what the DNA is on your dog? I don't even know what it means. What's your dog's DNA? Eight. What? What does that mean? I don't know. My dog's DNA is 8. Ron, what's your dog's DNA? I think my dog's DNA is 17. Or that could be the Powerball number from last Saturday. I don't know now. I'm confused. Anyway, I love my dog. I actually cook for my dog. I don't use that much dog food, so to speak. I will get a chicken or a chicken breast, and I will cook the chicken breast for my dog, and she loves my cooking. I think that's fantastic. Last night she had Chateaubriand and a beef Wellington the night before. I made an incredible oysters Rockefeller for her last Thursday. It was to die for. She loved it. And I know she loved it because her grandfather's dog sister's cousin was a lobster fisherman. Okay. Not the lobster fisherman itself, but a dog of a lobster fisherman. Oh, you almost threw me for a curve. All right, it's enough about that. Hey, God. Oh, my God. Screaming kids. I don't like them. I like children. I think they're fine, at least at a distance. They're good. You know, someday they're going to be adults, but right now, not yet. So you got to be a little careful with them because they run around a lot. And they don't know what they're doing. They have little heads and things like that. So kids are like just different and you have to give them some space. But they do something that really I don't understand, especially girl kids, which I think you call just girls. They scream a lot. When they're enjoying something, they scream. And I don't understand why. If kids are in a pool, a swimming pool, and they're having a great time, how do they react to having a great, incredibly wonderful time in the pool? They scream. When they're happy, they scream. That's not good. That's not good training, because when they get older, when they scream, that means that they're in trouble. So here's the deal. If I'm outside in the summer and I hear a girl screaming, I'm going to go, oh, have a good time in the pool. But maybe she's screaming because a car is chasing her, trying to abduct her. I would not know that because I don't know the difference because they're both screams. What I'm saying is save the screaming for the perilous situations in which you need help. It's like the boy that cried wolf in a way it's not. You know, if you're going to scream, make sure it's because you're in trouble. Otherwise, the next time I hear you scream, I'll just figure you're having a good time. When indeed, screaming when you have a good time is the opposite of screaming when you're in trouble. So make your screaming as an indication that you need my help. Otherwise, I'm just going to sit there and go, oh, okay, have a good time. Teach your kids the proper use of the scream, if you could, please. Come on. Yeah. I don't, I'm just trying to help society as best I can. It doesn't work, but I try. I think that's nice. Here's something else that I read that you're going to find fascinating. I have a feeling. This is absolutely true, and this was on the internet, which means it's got to be true. I don't know why my hands are out like this. It's because I'm getting bored just sitting here. That's why. If I stand up, you won't see me anymore because these are automated cameras and they don't necessarily follow me. And besides, where am I going to go? Where am I going to go? Anyway, did you know that the food delivery services, and I'll name the services, not saying that they're responsible for this, but I'll just name them anyway, DoorDash, Grubhub, and there are others as well that I'm leaving out because I don't do this. I don't use their services. I don't do this stuff. I don't have these food delivery places come to me with food takeout orders. I don't do that. I don't do that. I don't take Ubers. I don't get into strange people's cars and listen to the doors locked tight so I can't get out before they drive me under the bridge and have their way with me. And of course, who wouldn't want that? You know what I'm talking about? I don't do that stuff. I'm a little more cautious than that. Yet. There are people that order food from a restaurant and then these food delivery services bring the food to their door and that's the service. Okay, fine. Then I read this article on The Line and it says, without question, because I double checked, it says that 1 out of 4, or 25% if you do the math, 1 out of 4 delivery drivers will sample the food that they're delivering in their car before they bring it up to your house. Excuse me? What'd you say, Ron? Yes, 1 out of 4 delivery drivers who deliver the restaurant or whatever foods to your front door have eaten some of your food. What? And then I read another similar article on the line of highway internets that said even worse. It was 1 out of 3, 30%, 33 1/3 percent to be exact, will sample, and stop the word sample because it's not a sample. They're eating your food is what they're doing. They're taking their grubby little dirty hands, sticking it in your food bags, and they're eating some of them. They get away with it, and this is how. If you order fries, you know, like burger and fries or something, you don't know how many fries you're going to get. When you call in the order to McDonald's, it's like, give me a large fries. How many fries and a large? A lot. I don't know. Maybe 36. I don't know. Yeah, that's the point. You don't know. So what's to stop a delivery driver from opening up your bag and your McDonald's bag or whatever the case is, and having like 5 of your fries? You're not going to know the difference. You're not going to like open up your food bag when you get into the kitchen after you get the delivery and go, hey, wait a minute, there's 5 fries missing. How would you know that? There's no beginning count involved. Worse yet, order a milkshake or a fountain drink or something like that and have that delivered to your house. What they do is they'll sip a little bit off the top. Excuse me, your lips were on my liquid. Yeah, that's what they do. As a matter of fact, that's primarily what they do if they're going to do that. Do they take a bite out of your sandwich? Well, no, that would be a little bit obvious. Like you get your food into the house and, hey, wait a minute, there's a bite mark in my sandwich. That's a little obvious. You might make a phone call at that point. But what's to stop them from taking a few toppings from the bread, like a tomato or a little bit of lettuce or a couple of onion rings? I mean, chicken nuggets. How many? I don't know. Cut off a little piece of meat at the, I mean, they actually sit in the car and they eat some of your food. And it happens more than you think is the point. Now, I'm not blaming anybody, because if you're sitting in an enclosed car and you've got this food sitting next to you as a passenger, and you got these wonderful delicacies of smells and aromas coming out of the bag, you are tempted to grab just a little bit of that food. No one's going to know. And they do. So I'm just saying. And you're saying, Ron, that's not justified. Let me tell you something. Ron, 1 out of 4, 1 out of 3, how do you believe that? Because these are the ones that admitted that they do it. That's why. It doesn't count the number of delivery people that didn't admit that they did it, yet they do it. So you wonder why I don't partake in these services. Come on. I'm just saying, beware. It's true. If you don't believe me, do your own searching internetly, and you'll see what I'm talking about, and you'll be possibly as disgusted as I am. It's like going to a high-class restaurant and ordering, cherry stone clams there, you know. I want a dozen clams, please. And the waiter brings your order over to the table and has a couple of the clams and delivers it. Hey, wait a minute. There's two empty shells on the plate here. What happened to my clams? Oh, I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know. It's funny, stupid stuff. Anyway, beware. Thanksgiving is coming. I don't know when you're watching this. It may have already passed. I don't know the timing of these things. I don't know how far ahead I do these and then you see them. I have no idea. I really don't. I don't pay attention. But Thanksgiving is coming. It's a lovely time of year. It happens to be my favorite holiday because there's no religion involved. I don't have to go to a church. I don't have to deal with people's belief systems other than those that come to my house for Thanksgiving and believe that they were on the planet at the same time as dinosaurs. Beyond that, it's just a family thing. You eat turkey and you open your pants and you go to bed. I mean, it's not a big deal there. Have some alcohol. It's not so bad. No. It's a couple of times a year the family gets together. That's like the big one. And you enjoy a feast and you give thanks. You actually sit there and go, oh, thanks. Thanks a lot. Those are the sarcastic people. I'd like to give thanks for everything in my life. Ron, what about you? Yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot. Anyway. Thanksgiving's interesting because we all love our immediate families, don't we? Most of us do. You know, unless you have some big problems, but otherwise, most of us love our immediate families. But Thanksgiving sometimes opens up the door to family members that you don't see all year, and now you know why. These are the crazy ones. These are the first and second cousins. I don't even know what that is. I don't know why I have to even acknowledge them. Ron, I'm your first cousin. Yeah, so? What do you want me to do about it? What am I supposed to do? They show up. They show up. They're in town all of a sudden. They show up and they sit there. And then when they're talking to you, you realize that they should be committed. There's something wrong with them. But they're your blood. They're not your blood. They're just people that you happen to meet through some type of family connection. That doesn't mean you have to, but their blood. Oh, stop with the blood thing. Cut it out with the blood. Stop with your blood. Blood, their blood. Anyway, yeah, I don't know. Somehow we tolerate people more when we're eating. I have an I don't know if you feel the same way I do. I'm sure you don't. But I don't understand why on a first date you would take somebody to a restaurant. I'll tell you why, because I don't think eating is an attractive thing to do. I've never looked at a woman chewing her food and saying, wow, you are so hot the way you eat. What? No one does that. I mean, somebody does probably. I never found sitting across from somebody at a table at a restaurant to be an engagingly wonderful thing to do. Because the idea of doing this is that you're having conversation as well. And to have conversation, you need to use your mouth. So why would I have a conversation with you as you're opening and closing your mouth to form words, and then you're shoveling food in it intermittently? I don't get that. I like bars, not because of the alcohol necessarily, but because at a bar, seated at a bar, the person is sitting next to you. So when you're talking to the person, you can glance to the side every once in a while, but you're still kind of facing forward. You're not like right in there, direct smack in the middle vision. They're over here, not over there. So if you're eating there and I'm eating here, We're not seeing a lot of chewing going on because it's physically impossible because you're on the side. If you're seated right in front of me and you're chewing your cud, I got no choice but to watch you chew. And this is not an exercise that I wish to participate in. Eating should be kind of a private thing. Now, the best way of having conversation is sipping a glass of wine, because when you sip wine, you can't talk at the same time. You have a sip, you put the glass down, and you continue your conversation, and no one's really listening to anyway. But eating at a restaurant face-to-face, that's not a good date. That's a horrible date. Unless you say to yourself, hey, if I can chew my food in front of this person, then we must have something going. That means nothing. That's what the show is about. I'm pointing out things that I think we all experience, and you may disagree with me on many counts, and that's a fine thing. We are built as human beings to disagree and to argue. Don't you understand that? I was never on a debate team, but if I was, I would use a basic tactic of debate, and I think I'd win every time, and let me give you an example. You know, you're stupid. No, you're stupid. That's my debate. You take whatever the other person says, turn it around, right back at them, and it's over. It's done. It's done. You know, you don't know how to shop properly. No, you don't know how to shop properly. Okay, we're done there. That's our shop properly thing done. You know, you're a very annoying person. Yeah, well, you're a very annoying person. Okay, that's that. See, that's how you win a debate. You just turn it around, say the same thing. You're ugly. No, you're ugly. This is how kids argue and debate. But it's actually a great debate tactic. You know, even in politics, when they're having political debates. You know, you don't know what you're doing. You have caused the country a lot of pain. Oh, yeah? Well, you don't know what you're doing. And you've caused a lot of pain in the country. No, you have. No, you have. No, you really have. No, you really have. You should shut up. No, you should shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. No, you don't know what you're talking about. You just keep repeating what I'm saying and say it back to me. No, you keep repeating what you're saying and say it back to me. What? What do you mean, what? I'm saying to you, what? You're an idiot. No, you're an idiot. It's fantastic. It works every time. I don't know. I'm just telling you. That's all I'm telling you. All right. I'm just about out of time for today, and I think you just about had it as well. I don't know what show is coming up after this, to be honest with you. I don't have the schedule in front of me, nor do I know. So I don't know what's next. It could be a school committee meeting, which is fascinating. I think that's when they get together and try to figure out how many holidays are we going to have this year anyway. No, how many holidays are you going to have anyway? Okay, that's different. That still bothers me. It still bothers me. I understand college. College is all messed up anyway. Nobody goes to college for a long period of time. I understand that, you know. Out of a whole year of college, you're paying $50,000, and there's probably only about 10 days of actual classes. The rest are college vacations or something. But now public school, you know, has got fall recess, spring recess, Christmas week, Indigenous People Week. I don't. They got so many weeks off and holidays. I mean, everything's a holiday. When's the last time you went to the bathroom? Last Thursday. There's your holiday. I'm not going in next Thursday. They'll make a holiday for anything. Then there's a professional day. What are you doing? You're a professional already. I know, we're having a day of it. I don't get it. Okay, anyway, I'm out of time. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.